At Market District, we believe in the power of great taste. So here's a little taste of all the delicious possibilities. Juicy, hand-picked heirloom tomatoes. Seared certified Angus steak over aged cheddar mashed potatoes. Or how about fresh dough, stretched by hand for every house-made pizza? Is your mouth watering yet? From produce to meats to chef-made meals, discover great taste at Market District.
Your night in just got legendary. Get ready to chase the rush, spin, win, and redeem instantly straight to your bank account at legendswithaz.com. With free-to-play slots, blackjack, keno, roulette, and more, experience all the thrills of Vegas without leaving your couch. Legends has it all.
Legends is a free-to-play social casino. Void where prohibited. Must be 18 plus. Play responsibly. Visit legends.com for full details.
Get in the game now and score a 100% match on your first purchase only at legendswithaz.com.
And welcome into Morning Drive here on ESPN 102.5 The Game. Robbie Stanley alongside Adam Vingan from The Athletic. Marquise Munson behind the glass. Fellas, what's going on? Adam, welcome again to the show.
Thank you. Good morning, everybody.
Munson, how are you, my man?
I'm good, man. I'm good. What's up, Adam? What's going on? I'm live with the Smash Brothers.
Yeah, buddy.
Look at this, on a hump day.
Not much is happening, you know. We're living in a quarantined world. And I'm almost done with Tiger King.
Oh, my goodness. Have you gone down the Tiger King rabbit hole at this point? I haven't gotten there yet.
What's funny is my wife and I decided to watch the first episode a couple nights ago just to see what all the fuss was about. And at the end of the first episode, my wife says to me, I can't watch this again, because she was uncomfortable with all of the way that the animals were treated. And I said, well, I want to watch another episode. And then the next day I said, do you want to watch it with me? And she said, yeah, okay. And then last night we watched three episodes in a row. So it's more of the true crime element for me than the animals necessarily. But man, there are people in this country like that, which is hard to believe, but also not hard to believe. But Joe Exotic was the distraction we needed at this time during these uncertain times. So.
Apparently, I need to watch this. I may be the last person in America that hasn't seen Tiger King. I've got a list right now. There's a lot of things to watch. I'm going through 24 again on Hulu, which I think is the greatest show of all time. You know, season 3 of Ozark just came out. I mean, there's a lot of things for me to get to. Now, I do have a lot of time to do this and to watch these things, but Tiger King still, I think, for me, is down on the list in terms of my priorities.
Well, I would argue against your assertion that 24 is the greatest television show of all time.
Well, you can argue, but you'll be wrong.
But I think we talked about this last time I was on the show. One thing that I have started doing is going back through and watching a lot of the 30 for 30s on ESPN Plus, because I had missed a lot. And the first two I watched were related to my home region of Hampton Roads, Virginia. I watched No Crossover, The Trial of Allen Iverson.
Oh, yeah.
And I watched Vic, which is one of the newest ones. No Crossover was great, about Allen Iverson being arrested and convicted and eventually having those charges having his jail sentence pardoned. For a fight at a bowling alley in Hampton a long time ago. It was directed by Steve James, I believe his name is, who also directed Hoop Dreams, which many people consider to be one of the best sports-related documentaries of all time. So I thought it was really well done. So I'm looking forward to diving into more 30 for 30s.
Yeah, I mean, that's certainly part of it. And look, I saw a tweet yesterday talking about how they're turning on Madden mode, like they're turning their Madden game on and turning CPU mode on and just watching two computer teams play against each other. That's kind of the point that they've reached in this quarantine.
I'm not that desperate.
I'm hoping I'm not getting there yet.
No, like, I'm not
quite to that point.
So. I mean, if I'm going to play video games, if I'm going to put on the video game, I'm going to play it. So perhaps I'll hit up some MLB The Show 20. And you know, that's as real as it gets when it comes to baseball simulation. So maybe I'll do that, since we're not getting baseball anytime soon either.
So Adam, some big news came out of the NFL yesterday. They made it official. They announced that they have approved playoff expansion, which I don't think comes to a shock to anybody. After the new CBA was agreed to, that vote was necessary. The owners have voted to add that in. This season, it'll be 7 teams from each conference, 14 teams total in the playoffs, the number one seed in each conference getting the first round bye, which is going to put for three wild card games on Saturday in wild card weekend this weekend, and also three wild card games on Sunday. So wild card weekend, I think, is going to be a really fun day. Obviously, if the NFL season takes place as scheduled, which we're all hoping that it does, I am really looking forward to what wild card weekend in the NFL could look like.
Well, if you are a football fan, you won't complain about getting extra playoff games, which is what we're getting. So that is certainly exciting. But I would like to mention something in the press release that was buried way down in the press release that caught my attention.
Okay.
They were discussing the broadcasts for the wild card games. And quote, CBS will broadcast one of the new games scheduled for a 4:40 p.m. Eastern kickoff on January 10th, and it will be streamed on CBS All Access. This is the part that I'm looking for. The game also will be aired on Nickelodeon in a production geared toward a younger audience.
Wow.
So if what really should happen is whoever plays in the wild card game that's streamed on Nickelodeon, there needs to either be a Double Dare style obstacle course, or they need to climb the aggro crag from Guts to win the wild card game. If there's not some sort of Guts, Double Dare, Legends of the Hidden Temple sort of tie-in, then what are we doing here, people? If you're going to put
it
on
Nickelodeon,
or the losing team gets slimed. Like at the end of the game, they stand at midfield and they just get a bucket full of slime dumped on them by the Nickelodeon blimp. That's what should happen if they're doing a Nickelodeon game. So that's all I'm going to say about that.
I missed the Nickelodeon part of it. That's an interesting point there. Yeah, maybe they should get slimed. If you lose that game, not only do you have the disappointment of your season ending right before your very eyes, you also have to get slimed. I'm sure that would go over very well in NFL locker rooms. They'd be really happy about that.
Or maybe the winning winning coach gets a Gatorade bucket full of slime dumped on him.
Full of slime? Yeah, maybe so. Lewis Riddick was talking about this decision made by the NFL yesterday and said, look, he understands there are arguments for both sides in terms of expanding the playoffs or not expanding the playoffs, but this could be really cool in terms of the late season drama. Here's what Lewis Riddick had to say.
There's arguments to be made on both sides of that, meaning this, again, like I said earlier, some people will say, well, that kind of devalues a little bit your performance during the regular season, and all you have to do is make it in with this expanded playoff field, and then all you have to do is get hot, go on a run, and maybe you get to the Super Bowl, and you catch a better team on an off day. Well, maybe that is the case. Maybe that does happen. But the fact of the matter is, this is what it's going to be. Again, late season football is going to mean something. And those teams that are, you know, everyone's going to be fighting until the very last game to try and sneak in there. And who's to say, who knows what would have happened with the Rams had they gotten in? Like, the likelihood is they wouldn't have been able to dethrone San Francisco anyway in the NFC. And Pittsburgh, as you mentioned, with the quarterback situation, they wouldn't have dethroned the Kansas City Chiefs. But you just never know, because we all know that NFL football is the greatest reality show on TV, and it plays itself out in real time. So this will just add to the drama, which is something I think all fans would look forward to.
So that was Lewis Riddick from ESPN. And Adam, you know, obviously when you take a look at this format with only the top seed in each conference getting the first round bye, you know, you feel for the two seeds. You know, last year my beloved Green Bay Packers were the two seed. They got the first round bye, and if this format would have taken place last year, they would have gone up against the Los Angeles Rams in the first round. So I am interested to see, like, what impact this has on the race in the regular season to get that one seed, because, you know, for as long as I can remember, the goal has been to get either the one or the two seed in your respective conference so you get that first round bye. That's going to become a lot more difficult now. And, you know, even if you get all the way up to the two seed, you're still playing on wild card weekend. So I'm fascinated to see, you know, how this change impacts what the regular season product looks like, even in the last week, because we know it now. Like, even in the last week of action, a lot of these teams at least have a top two seed in the conference locked up. I mean, they're not playing anybody that last week. There's not a whole lot going on. That's still going to happen in some occasions, even with this new change. But I do think it is going to make for maybe some more interesting pushes all the way down to the very end of the regular season down the stretch.
According to ESPN, every Super Bowl participant for the past seven seasons has received a bye. And the last team to make it that far without one were the 2012 Baltimore Ravens. So certainly there will be a larger emphasis on grabbing that bye week, which not only – so we're looking at the expanded playoff format mostly because there's another team being added to the bottom – But really, it puts more importance on the battle at the top, because you know you could have a 13-3 season and not have a bye if the team in front of you is 14-2. So I think while we're paying attention, obviously, to that seventh team that's going to get in and the extra game, you also have to pay. You also have to pay a lot of attention to the race at the top, because you know now you can't, if you're 13-3 and the team, you're in second place in the conference and the team behind you is 10-6, you know, you can't just coast and hope to, you know, make a, you know, get a bye week. You have to be able to topple the team in front of you. So I think that makes it even more exciting, even, not just so much the team added to the bottom, but the race for the top.
Yeah, and obviously, you know, another big factor of this is the money part of it. The NFL is going to make more money off of adding more teams to the playoffs. I mean, that's just simple math. That's what's going to happen. I look at this from a coaching perspective, and look, we talk about the coaching turnover in today's world of professional sports. I think this is good news for the coaches. The more chances that you have to make the playoffs, I think the more your jobs, for the most part, are going to be in better security. I mean, I think back to the Titans in 2017 with Mike Mularkey. I mean, there's a lot of examples that if you would have added another team and another team to this race, maybe some jobs would have been saved at that point. So from a job security perspective, if I'm an NFL head coach, I really like this because it increases the chances, I think, of you keeping your job for that much longer.
Yes, and to your point, also according to ESPN, from 2002 to 2019, only four coaches were forced out of their jobs following a season when their team played at least one postseason game, including Mike Mularkey, who was the most recent in 2017, Broncos coach John Fox in 2014, San Diego Chargers coach Marty Schottenheimer in 2006, and San Francisco 49ers coach Steve Mariucci in 2002. Yep. So you're right that if you are a coach and you get into the playoffs at the seventh seed, you still got into the playoffs. So you're right. There a lot of jobs could be saved because of this addition to the playoff field.
I'm really fascinated by this. I mean, I love wild card weekend as it is in the NFL anyway. I mean, this is going to be, I think, the most exciting weekend of the NFL. I mean, you know, I love the divisional round too, and that's always been fun, and that's still going to be great, I think. But wild card weekend now with three games on that Saturday, three games on that Sunday, especially with what we're going through right now with no sports and really nothing to talk about in terms of live sports happening. Once we get to that point of the NFL season where we get to wild card weekend, I mean, I'm not going to do anything those Saturday and Sunday. It's just going to be all day of football, and I think NFL fans are going to love it.
Perhaps it will remind people of one of my favorite sports days, or two favorite sports days of the year, which we unfortunately did not have this year, the first 2 days of the NCAA men's basketball tournament, where you've got wall-to-wall games from about noon until midnight. So perhaps a similar feeling for football fans to have three playoff games back-to-back-to-back on consecutive days in January.
When we come back, now that the NFL has made changes to their playoff format, what changes would we like to see in other leagues? We'll get into that next. This is Morning Drive with Robbie Stanley and Adam Vingan here on ESPN 102.5 The Game. RockNashville.com is your community resource page brought to you by 102.5 The Game and Cromwell Media. Even though we're holed up in our own homes, we'll get through this, Nashville, like we do everything else together. Go to RockNashville.com to support local businesses who are supporting you. Welcome back. Here into Morning Drive on ESPN 102.5 The Game, Robbie Stanley alongside Adam Vingan from The Athletic. And Adam, we were talking in the last segment about the NFL making the decision to expand their playoffs, and that got me thinking, you know, what changes would we like to see to playoff formats in other leagues like the NHL and the NBA and Major League Baseball? And I guess we'll start with the NHL, the league you and I both cover, Adam. I look at what's happened in the Stanley Cup playoffs, and I really like it for the most part. Now, obviously, we're talking about a normal year here. We're not talking about what would probably have to take place this season if they're able to resume play and the creativity that you'll have to get there. But in a normal year, I think of all of the playoff formats, I probably like the NHL the best. I don't think that's just because we cover it. I just think the NHL playoffs, that's where things really shine, because really in both conferences, seeded 1-8, you've got a pretty good chance to make a deep run. I mean, we've seen it time and time again. So I don't know if there's very many changes I would make to the Stanley Cup playoffs.
Yeah, under normal circumstances, I like the Stanley Cup playoffs as they are. I like the way they're formatted. As we have talked about every spring, well, except for this spring, and maybe 2005. But I like the way they're formatted. It breeds upsets. All of the series are entertaining and captivating for the most part. So honestly, I don't have any issues with the normal Stanley Cup playoff format. Of course, if there is a resumption of this season, the playoff format will be different. It'll be interesting to see if that happens, what the playoffs look like. But normally, I like the NHL Stanley Cup playoffs just as they are.
And, you know, a lot of people have made a big deal about, you know, kind of the different format that the NHL has taken in terms of, you know, the 2-3 matchup in terms of in the division and, you know, the wild card teams, all these different things. It used to not be that way. It used to just be 1-8 in the Western Conference and 1-8 in the Eastern Conference, and you seeded them that way. I understand why maybe some people don't like the new format. But I really don't have that much of a problem with it. What's your thought?
I don't really have much issue with it either, and I understand what the NHL was trying to do when they did that. They wanted to breed more divisional rivalries. And think about what we've seen from the Predators over the past few years. I mean, we saw the playoff series with Dallas last year, which kind of, I wouldn't say it's a rivalry yet, but certainly made games against the Stars a bit more meaningful. The Avalanche a couple of years ago, same thing. When I look at the NHL's aim in terms of creating more divisional rivalries by doing divisional playoffs, I think for the most part they've succeeded.
And as far as the NBA is concerned, and Munson, you can tell me your thoughts on this as well, I would actually like to see the playoff pool lessened. I think less teams in the NBA should make the playoffs. Now, this is never going to happen simply from a money perspective, but let's be honest, like the first round of the NBA playoffs on most occasions, really other than the 4-5 matchup, is just a total waste of time. I mean, it just kind of is what it is. And you look at the NBA as a whole, the lowest seeded team to ever win a championship, I believe, was the 94-95 Houston Rockets, and they were a 6th seed. So it's not like, you know, the NHL, you see a 7th or an 8th seed get to the Stanley Cup final like almost every other year, it seems like, in the last 15 years or so. And you can argue whether or not that's a good thing or a bad thing, and I certainly understand both sides of that argument. But the first round in the NBA, like the 1-8, like I think I remember Golden State upsetting a number 1 seeded Dallas team.
Yes.
That's like the only one I think I remember. Maybe the only time that's happened in NBA history. So I would like to see the NBA playoffs get shortened. What the exact number would be, I'm not sure. But the first round of the NBA playoffs, to me, are usually a joke. Munson, what are your thoughts?
Well, I'll put it this way. I would want it to stay the same as it is, because I mean, sometimes you do get some pretty good matchups. I remember in the Celtics' first year when they end up winning the NBA championship, their first round series was against the Hawks, and the Hawks took them to Game 7. And that was a close series. Joe Johnson was on that team. He was kind of the Josh Smith. So sometimes you do get those matchups where, you know, the 8 seed is a potential team that can beat you. I think this year, I think even a Grizzlies team with Ja Morant and that young team, not saying that they would have beat the Lakers, but they would have definitely gave them at least a game. So I do see that point of view, but I think more so than anything for the NBA playoffs, it just doesn't need to be conferences, because usually you have a very top-heavy Western Conference, and you have teams that are usually a 10 seed that have better records than teams in the East. Yeah. That's not the case this year. This year it's kind of been a little, you know, where if you look on the East, there's two teams in the East that are a 7 and 8 seed that are not even over 500 right now. So it's a little different this year, but in previous years, that's been my main argument of having, like, doing away with conferences altogether and just doing the 16 best teams. And then maybe not shortening, like, the teams that you have in, but shortening the first round series. So maybe
that's
having
what I was going to say.
Yeah, maybe having, like, a best of 5 instead of a best of 7 in the first round.
That's exactly what I was going to say, Marquise. Change to the NBA playoff format would to make the first round best of 5 again. And to answer your question, Robbie, there have been 5 8-1 upsets in NBA history. in 1994, the Denver Nuggets over the Supersonics. In 99, the Knicks over the Heat. In 2007, the Warriors over the Mavericks. In 2011, the Grizzlies over the Spurs. In 2012, the Sixers over the Bulls. So I would agree with Marquise. I would go back to a best of five first round series because, look, especially back when, you know, you look back over the past couple of years, did I need seven, you know, do I need four or five games of, you know, whatever team is going to lose to the Warriors in four or five games? No. I you know, have them sweep them in three and just move on with it. Like, you know, the NBA is not like the NHL in the sense that there are very few major upsets. So I think shortening the first round, going back to best of five, and then having seven game series the rest of the way would be my change to the NBA format.
Now, to the NBA's credit, once you get to the conference finals in both conferences, their playoffs are great.
Yes.
I'm a huge fan of the NBA. I love watching their playoffs. But to me, sometimes it just feels like the first round, on most occasions, on most series, like I said, other than the 4-5 matchup, generally just seems to be a waste of time. So I'm interested to see what the NBA may do in the future in terms of addressing that. Maybe it is as simple as making the first round five games once again. We'll see what happens on that front. As far as Major League Baseball is concerned, a lot of people have had problems with, like, the, you know, that one game wild card playoff that they have right now and kind of win that you're in. I love it. And we saw it, you know, as recently as last season. You know, Washington gets in that game, they get hot, all of a sudden you're running through the playoffs. I like the one game kind of play-in game to the MLB playoffs. What are your guys' thoughts?
I like it too. I can understand why people may not, because baseball is 162 games, and then your entire season rests on the outcome of one game. So I can understand that viewpoint, but I like it too. It adds to the drama. I like that it's just one game. And then I like the baseball format because the division series are best of five, right? And the championship series and World Series are best of seven. I think the MLB has a perfect formula when it comes to the playoffs.
Yeah, I agree. And I think this is why, and this is why I would never change the format of the NBA to having, like, taking out the low seeds, because of the drama and the suspense. Like, yeah, it's like eight seeds not going to beat the Golden State Warriors, but what if they do? It's the same thing we think about when we talk about the NCAA tournament. Like, yeah, you know, a 15 seed or 13 seed may not beat a 3-4 seed, but what if they do? And it's all, and that's the drama. Even if it doesn't happen, it's always the drama in part of it as well. So that's why I like when teams are, you know, a little bit over 500. They do a late season stretch. They make it to the playoffs, and then all of a sudden they have a strong playoff run. We've seen a Super Bowl come out of it with the Giants. So that adds to the drama. So I like the two game play-ins of, you know, teams that are, you know, may have not have been, you know, conference or division leaders, but they definitely had enough to get to the playoffs, and then you kind of start a whole brand new season.
And, you know, we were talking about the NBA and, like, the lack of drama in terms of, you know, your lower seeded teams not typically being competitive with the higher seeds in each conference. Well, the NHL is kind of the exact opposite. And some people argue, like, okay, the NHL's regular season at that point kind of becomes meaningless, because if your best teams are getting put out with pretty good regularity in the first couple rounds of the playoffs and being upset by, you know, your seven seeds and your eight seeds in the long term, is like, is that really what you want? If you're a league like that in the NHL, do you not want your best teams getting through the playoffs at that point that have been the best teams all throughout the regular season? It is kind of an interesting argument. I think you could take both sides of there.
But then you look at what happened last year. I mean, how captivating was the Blue Jackets series sweep against the Tampa Bay Lightning? I mean, think about how dominant the Lightning were last year in winning the President's Trophy, and that was one of the most historic upsets in Stanley Cup playoff history when you look at the gap in points between the two teams. So, I mean, that's exciting to me. I mean, it's exciting that can happen. I mean, you of course want your best teams competing for a championship, but then you don't, but that sort of takes the drama away if the best teams always get to the final or to the conference final. So, you know, think about how exciting the Predators' run to the Stanley Cup final was in 2017. I think a large part of it was because they were the eighth seed in the Western Conference, and they had to go on the road to start every series, and they had to win pivotal games on the road. I think if the Predators would have been a top seed in that tournament, I think it would have still been exciting, but I don't think it would have been as exciting to the same extent. I think part of what made it so captivating was the fact that they were the lower seed.
When we come back, 16 NBA players are putting together a tournament on the video game NBA 2K to donate charity towards the coronavirus relief efforts. Will we watch it? How entertained will we be by watching these NBA players play video games? That's next. This is Morning Drive with Robbie Stanley and Adam Vingan here on ESPN 102.5 The Game. Welcome back into Morning Drive here on ESPN 102.5 alongside Adam Vingan from The Athletic, taking you through this Wednesday morning here in Nashville, Tennessee. And Adam, there's an interesting thing happening starting Friday. NBA players, 16 NBA players, will be participating in an NBA 2K tournament. For a players-only tournament that will be televised and you can watch it. And basically, the winner of this tournament will select a charity that will receive $100,000 in coronavirus relief efforts. So a really cool thing, a creative thing that the NBA and NBA players are putting on here while we're all without sports, without basketball. And it's headlined by Kevin Durant and Trae Young, Donovan Mitchell, Devin Booker, Pat Beverly, and Andre Drummond, also a part of it, among others. How much interest do we have in watching this happen? Because, you know, obviously it's just watching, you know, players play video games. I'm kind of interested to see how good they actually are at it, because you would think throughout like a normal season, with as rigorous as the NBA schedule is and the back-to-backs that you have and practices, all these different things, you probably don't have a ton of time to play video games, even NBA 2K. I'm sure it happens in the locker room, and there are games that are played there on occasion. But I'm kind of interested to see how good these actual players are. Like Kevin Durant is the one seed in this tournament. How good is Kevin Durant at NBA 2K? So I'm not going to sit here and pretend like I'm going to watch this entire tournament take place, but I will probably flip it over there for a little bit and see what it's like, see what goes down, and see who ends up winning it.
Well, as I was talking to Marquise about before the show, I don't know if any of these players are particularly good at video games, but Marquise did bring up a great point regarding Donovan Mitchell, who, of course, was the second player in the NBA to be to test positive for coronavirus. So he's had a lot of time on his hands sitting at home being quarantined. Yes. So perhaps Donovan Mitchell has become a ringer at NBA 2K. And he is the fourth seed in this tournament, which the seeds were determined by each player's individual in-game player rating. And then those that were tied, the tie went to the player that had the longest league tenure. So Donovan Mitchell, the fourth seed. So he'll be playing the 13th seed. Rui Hachimura of the Washington Wizards. I probably butchered his name just now. But, you know, I'm not someone who really gets excited by watching other people play video games. It's funny, right? Because when we were kids, you know, watching video games was we would be at our friend's house and one of us would be playing GoldenEye and the other one would be sitting there because it was a one play. They would be playing the one player, you know, story mode. And then when that person died, we're like, all right, I got next. That was watching video games when we were kids. Now there are entire websites, you know, like Twitch that are dedicated to watching people play Fortnite and Call of Duty, and that doesn't necessarily interest me. So perhaps, like you, I will be I'll flip over. I'll be curious, but I don't think I'm going to sit there for an entire game and watch Kevin Durant play Derek Jones Jr. in a 1-versus-16 NBA 2K tournament.
Meanwhile, I would expect Munson to watch every single minute of this tournament that's going to take place.
Maybe. It depends. Well, I mean, this weekend is a busy weekend. It's WrestleMania weekend. So
that's true.
You know, some stuff gets put
it's
to the
too
side.
Big for just one night.
It's too big for just one night.
That's
because
what I hear.
They don't want to say that, you know, the reason why they're having to go two nights in empty arenas, but that's another story. But no, I mean, I'll watch it. I'll watch it not for the game, but for the banter alone of just having these players, like, well, obviously they're not going to be in the same room, but they're going to be probably on Zoom or something, and they're going to be playing, and, you know, they're going to be talking back and forth, probably talking trash, and that's what I'm going to be looking forward to, more so than the actual games itself. But it's just crazy how we go from, you know, watching video games at our friend's house to all of a sudden this is like a national thing. Like, people, there's a league for NBA 2K. That's like constructed by the NBA. So it's just like,
oh, yeah.
And if I would have known that at the age of like 10, when I was playing NBA 2K, like, I'd have been like, hey, okay, I'm just going to do this instead of whatever I plan on doing for my future. I'm just going to play 2K and master it.
What I think they should do...
be Ronnie 2K.
In honor of Kobe Bryant, is they should play a NBA courtside featuring Kobe Bryant tournament on Nintendo 64. Unfortunately, I don't think there's the technology to stream that as you can on the current systems, but that was my first NBA video game, was NBA courtside featuring Kobe Bryant on Nintendo 64.
That would be good. So if you're a player, do you play with yourself?
I would.
Yeah,
do you play,
do you
as
play
yourself?
With your team?
Like, do you play somebody else?
Like, if you're Kevin Durant and you're and you've got virtual Kyrie calling for the ball, do you say, hell no, man, I'm taking this shot? And then you have Kevin Durant, virtual Kevin Durant with 56 shots, which I guess is probably not that far from what he probably throws up there. But would there be some virtual strife between Kevin Durant and Kyrie Irving, which we haven't seen on the court in real life yet because Kevin Durant's been hurt all season? But yeah, I would imagine you would play as your team and try to get yourself, you probably load up your stats as best you can.
Well, too bad for DeMarcus Cousins. He's going to have to sign himself to a team virtually, and then
he should go back to play. He should re-sign with the Pelicans and team up in the front court with Zion Williamson.
He probably would do that just because he seems like one of the people that, like, he'll play as the team that you tell, like, you know, everybody has a team that you can't play as. Like, you can't play as Michael Vick on NFL or Madden. You can't play as the Warriors on 2K. He'll be like, okay, I'm going to put myself on the Warriors with, you know, Klay Thompson and Steph Curry and all them, and then I'm going to win a championship with them.
My team, I remember when I played 2K in college, my team randomly was the Utah Jazz. Like, Andre Karolinko and Kyle Korver, Utah Jazz. Yeah. Just because, and Darren Williams. Like, because Kyle Korver would just rain threes. That's all I would do. It's like every time I had an open look, Kyle Korver would hit a three. So I was like the 2009 Utah Jazz, basically, was my team.
I always picked my favorite teams regardless. So if my team was the Lakers, even when they just had Kobe Bryant, Lamar Odom, Shannon Brown, Jordan Farmar, and all these guys.
Jordan Farmar, that's a blast from the past.
I still use the Lakers. Same thing for the Raiders. Like, when I played Madden, when they had Rich Gannon as quarterback, I was throwing six interceptions with a virtual version of Rich Gannon. Like, it just happens that way, you know? I always just end up using my favorite teams regardless.
I'm going to throw this out there, and I don't know how much of a hot take this is, but, you know, obviously Madden's very popular. NHL around here locally is very popular. We've got a lot of NHL 20 fans out there. I think NBA 2K has become my favorite sports game. I think it's the best sports game out there. Again, I'm not sure how much of a hot take that is. I know there's a lot of Madden fans throughout the world, but NBA 2K, I think I would rank number one in terms of current sports games.
I think that's fair. I think I haven't purchased 2K in a while. Maybe I will because I have a lot of time on my hands. But I enjoy the NHL games, obviously. I like MLB The Show. I think that's a really great game. I think the franchise modes and are really great. I think the graphics are fantastic. So I might throw my hat in the ring for MLB The Show.
When I first got here, I was asked to do volunteer to do an NHL tournament. Like, this was like around this time last year.
Oh yeah, we remember.
Yeah, and I was like, nah, no thanks. I'll pass. I suck at that game. But if you guys like do Madden or 2K, like, holler at me. Like, I'm pretty good at those games. But yeah, not NHL. I'm not good at NHL. And I'm decent at MLB The Show. If I create a player and then just make him like a 99 overall.
Yes.
And then just like slamming home runs left and right. I think my created guy like broke the home run record because of like the first season like that, because he was like a 99 overall. So yeah, but I think 2K is just a little bit more realistic than any game that's ever been. Like, Madden's not realistic at all. Like, some of these catches that if you throw it to a wide receiver with like a 72 overall and he's catching it over, you know, Jalen Ramsey, and it's just like, come on now, really? That wouldn't really happen like that. So it's 2K is just a little bit more realistic than any other sports games that I've ever played. So I think that's the reason. And also my player mode, and people like this nostalgia of like, hey, if I was an NBA player, I'll be 6'6", and I'll be playing for the Lakers, and I'll get drafted. So it's also that element to it as well. Once 2K added that, then that's when like kind of took over the stratosphere.
Real quickly, do we think that because Kevin Durant is the number one seed, he would just choose the best team in NBA history? Like, he'll go back and choose, like, the all-time Chicago Bulls team or the all-time, you know, L.A. Lakers team. He'll just throw himself on that team just because he likes to take the easy way out. That's what I think Kevin Durant's going to do in this tournament.
Ha, ha, ha. Good one. I think he'll stick with the Nets because it will be the first time, as I said, we'll see Kyrie Irving and Kevin Durant on the court as functional virtual basketball players. So perhaps we'll see just what their team dynamic is for the first time. I think he'll stick with the Nets.
I wouldn't be surprised if he puts himself on like the 92 Dream Team.
I know.
I wouldn't be surprised. Like, he'll like take Charles Barkley's spot and then just like move him away and then just put himself in there. I would not be surprised if he does that.
I wonder how many different burner accounts he's going to access throughout this process. As well, when we come back, LeBron James is pushing for his fourth NBA title, but obviously this NBA season is very much in jeopardy. How could this impact his legacy if this season isn't finished? We'll get into that next. This is Welcome Back into Morning Drive here on ESPN 102.5 The Game. Robbie Stanley alongside Adam Vingan taking you through this Wednesday morning. Jay Morrison will join us at 7:30. He covers the Cincinnati Bengals. Sean Henry, Predators president and CEO, scheduled to join us at 8:30. And then former Predator Jordan Tutu will join us at 9:30. So really looking forward to that as we move through the show today. And Adam, we were talking before the break just about LeBron James. He's pushing for his fourth NBA titles, won two with the Miami Heat, one with the Cleveland Cavaliers. L.A. Lakers right now this year in first place in the Western Conference. LeBron himself is having an MVP-type season. Obviously, with the season being put on pause at the moment due to the coronavirus concerns, you know, LeBron's 35 years old. Like, how many more opportunities is he going to have left to win a championship? Right now, he's put himself in the conversation among some of the greatest basketball players of all time to ever play in the NBA. This could be the best chance he has left to win a title. I just wonder if the season is canceled this season and there's no champion awarded just because the NBA can't return to action. How does that impact his legacy if, you know, LeBron James gets stuck on three titles the rest of his career and he's never able to move up into that four or five range in terms of how many championships he's won?
That's a tough question because when you look at his individual numbers, I mean, he has scored more points than Michael Jordan, who he's regularly compared to. He has scored more points than Michael Jordan. He has four regular season MVP awards. I believe Michael Jordan has five. LeBron has three finals MVP awards. And, of course, Michael Jordan has six because each time the Bulls won a championship, Michael Jordan was the finals MVP. So if LeBron's career were to end today, you know, I believe there would be a lot of people who would say that he did not measure up to Michael Jordan, but I think LeBron James's legacy is fairly cemented even if he were not to attain any other major accolade for the rest of his career. Also, I think LeBron is a superhuman athlete. I think his career – I'm not sure how – Marquise maybe be able to tell me this. I'm not sure how old Michael Jordan was when he retired, but I feel like LeBron James can play well into maybe his late 30s or early 40s and not miss a beat just because of how well he takes care of himself. So I think there will be more opportunities for LeBron James. But look, if his career were to end now, you know, I think he's number three on the NBA scoring list, four regular MVPs, three finals MVPs, countless all-star games, three championships. You know, he is certainly one of the best players of all time in the NBA. There's no question.
He is. And look, there's no question about that. You know, 35 years old right now. You mentioned the four MVPs he's won in the regular season. He could probably have won a couple more during that time as well. Now, he also did absolutely rob Dwayne Wade of an MVP award in 2009 when he had no business winning that award over Dwayne Wade, but I digress. I just look at him right now, 35 years old, and look, he's having, like we said, an MVP caliber season. Him and Giannis are right there, I think, 1-2 in the conversation in terms of who's going to win the NBA MVP award this year. But he is 35 years old. And look, I get it. He takes great care of himself. He is a freak of nature in terms of how athletic he is and how he's still able to play at this level at 35 years old and being in the NBA for 17 years. But at some point, even for LeBron James, his skills and his athleticism is going to diminish. When that is going to happen, I don't know. Is it next year? Is it 3 or 4 years from now? I'm not sure. I agree with you. I think he can play into his 40s if he wants to. I just wonder, with this Lakers group right now, you have, you know, the Warriors having an off year with Klay being hurt, Steph being hurt for the majority of the year. You would expect them to reload at some point as well. I just think the opportunity is right there for the Lakers this year to win, and I'm not sure how wide open that opportunity is going to be for them as they move ahead here.
And to answer my own question, Michael Jordan was 40 when he played his final game for the Washington Wizards. So, but Michael Jordan was not Michael Jordan at that point.
Well, yeah, but I will say this, though. With his time at the Wizards, people make fun of it, and it was pretty bad, but he still averaged over 20 points a game.
I was looking for a Michael Jordan Wizards t-shirt the other day during my quarantine.
So, really?
Yeah.
Do you have one?
No, I can't find any.
Oh, man. That would have been great if you did, though.
It would be great. I was also looking for a Christian Laettner Wizard shirt, but I couldn't
find
that.
Okay, yeah, I would have left that. I would have stopped.
I'd have stopped that for Michael Jordan.
Yeah, I would have stopped that for Michael Jordan. But, I mean, and we see this with countless guys. We see this with Vince Carter, where his career kind of started hitting a decline. Even, you know, the great Kobe Bryant, who obviously injuries played that big part in, you know, him making that decline. But, you know, as you get older, you start making that decline. Jordan was one of those guys that he kind of still stayed in the trajectory of what he was. Now, maybe he wasn't Michael Jordan of Michael Jordan from 84.
He didn't have the hops or anything.
He didn't
like
have
that.
The hops or anything like that. And even when D-Wade, toward the back end of his career, he didn't have the hops either. I tried to watch him dunk one time, and I was like, ooh, this is...
Be careful what you say about Dwayne Wade. Robbie,
I know, but
he didn't have any knees.
He didn't. Yeah, he didn't. So it all depends, and it's also personal life as well. He's got a kid who's going to potentially be in the league in probably 4 or 5 years from now. So, you know, maybe he wants to play with his kid. I don't know, but maybe he wants to be out before his kid gets there. But, you know, I think he still has maybe 3 years of prime LeBron James, I think. And I think that's a perfect opportunity to win one more ring before he calls it quits. But I think right now he has at least 3 more years, the way he takes care of himself.
Is there anything he can do to put himself firmly in the conversation? Because I think he's already in the conversation, but most people universally just agree that Michael Jordan is the greatest basketball player of all time. Is there still anything left that he can do to kind of overtake Michael Jordan from that standpoint? Because, look, I mean, he's won championships in two different spots. If he goes and wins another championship with the Lakers and he's won championships in 3 different stops, I mean, that's pretty impressive.
I think that's a good point. I think if he were able to win an NBA championship with the Los Angeles Lakers, just one, and he ends his career with 4, but he did it with 3 separate teams, I think you can put LeBron James potentially ahead of Michael Jordan. But I think that's a good point. With 4 championships with 3 different teams, I think would be incredibly impressive.
But also Kawhi Leonard has an opportunity to do the same thing.
That's true. That's
he won with the Spurs, Raptors, and then possibly with the Clippers. But I think it just all depends on who you talk to, because you get people who have this notion of no matter what, Jordan's going to always be the best. I have this problem when you talk to Alabama fans and you tell them that, no, Nick Saban is greater. And we had this discussion, you know, a couple days ago of saying, you know, Nick Saban is the best resume-wise when you look at the time of, you know, when he's played. But no matter what you say, people are going to always still say, nah, Bear Bryant was better.
Right.
Same thing with Tom Brady and Peyton Manning. Tom Brady has way more rings than Peyton Manning, but people still think Peyton Manning's the better quarterback out of the two players. So it just all depends on who you talk to. I know a lot of people who think LeBron James already surpassed Michael Jordan. And I know some people that will probably tell me, you're kidding me. Don't ever even bring Jordan and LeBron in the same category. So it all depends on what generation you talk to and who you talk to. But You know, I think LeBron's is up there, and both of them transcended the game in their own different way. So they're both going to be great. Jordan's going to be great in his era, and LeBron is going to be the greatest of this era. So that's all.
I think the NBA, probably more so than any other sport, it's so difficult to compare eras. Like, everybody looks at LeBron and they say, well, he just doesn't have the killer instinct than Michael Jordan had, and that's probably true. He probably doesn't have the same just kind of assassin mentality that Michael Jordan has, but LeBron does a lot of different things. I mean, LeBron is way more versatile of a player than Michael Jordan was, so I think it all depends on, to your point, Mutz, and who you talk to in this conversation. But, like, you know, you look back throughout the eras, like, you know, Jerry West and, you know, Kobe Bryant, Bill Russell, like, it's so hard to compare these eras in the NBA, I think even more so than any other sport.
Yeah, I mean, it's one of those things that if you were to tell me Kareem Abdul-Jabbar is the greatest basketball player ever, I would not argue with that, if that's what you think. If you think Jerry West or you think Wilt Chamberlain or Bill Russell or any of those guys are the best players at basketball that you've ever seen, cool. I can't dispute that. Same thing for in football. If you think Tom Brady's the best, if you think Joe Montana's the best, you know, fine. If you think, you know, Joe Montana, it's whatever. But it's just, it's all depends on who you talk to. Everybody has a different opinion on who they think is the quote-unquote best. I think Jordan's better than LeBron. That's just my opinion. But I also didn't grow up in Jordan's era. I watched LeBron and Kobe more than I watched Jordan. So, you know, it just all depends on who you talk to. But I think it's an argument for LeBron James. I think he's definitely going to be in the conversation always when you talk about the greatest.
And Ron from Indiana texts in on the text line and says, doesn't Robert Horry have more rings than both of these guys? I do believe Robert Horry's got 7 rings. So that's why, like, the ring part of this conversation, like, if you're just basing it off championships, it's Bill Russell. And the conversation just kind of
Robert Horry, big shot Rob, a 7-time NBA champion, 94, 95, 2000, 2001, 2002, 2005, and 2007.
Yeah, like Adam Morrison has like 2 NBA championships with the Lakers, and he wore a suit the entire time.
Yep.
And I'm not going to go around saying that Adam Morrison's like one of the top players in the NBA. No.
Mark Madsen has 2 NBA championships.
Yeah, Mark, like, so it's I don't get caught up in rings. I get caught up in the impact you made to get those rings. And LeBron James made an impact in every, and he's been in the finals every year, damn near. So it's LeBron's had an impact on the league that no other player has had, especially in this era. So I would go LeBron James this era, Jordan's hard to top. And I don't think there's going to be a 10-part series on LeBron James.
There may not be.
Maybe
we'll
a 5.
You
maybe
never
a five,
know.
Maybe a 5-part.
It may be longer.
I may be a 5-part.
Maybe 15. You never know.
Unless LeBron starts gambling. He is a wine connoisseur. But maybe,
he is wine.
Maybe they'll just do a whole episode about wine.
Whole episode about Taco Tuesday as well. When we come back, we spent a lot of time yesterday looking at the bracket that we've put together here at ESPN 102.5 The Game for the Nashville Best Athlete in the Last 30 Years. Yesterday, you all voted on the Jeff Fisher region. We'll look back at your votes. Also look ahead to the Tim Corbin region that takes place today. That's next. This is Morning Drive with Robbie Stanley and Adam Vintgen here on ESPN 102.5 The Game.
At Market District, we believe in the power of great taste, like juicy heirloom tomatoes, cheesy house-made pizza, and fresh artisan-made bread. From produce to meats to chef-made meals, discover great taste at Market District.
L-E-D-E-N-E-T. Your night in just got legendary. Get ready to chase the rush, spin, win, and redeem instantly straight to your bank account at legendswithaz.com. With free-to-play slots, blackjack, keno, roulette, and more, experience all the thrills of Vegas without leaving your couch. Legends has it all.
Legends is a free-to-play social casino. Void where prohibited. Must be 18+. Play responsibly. Visit legends.com for full details.
Get in the game now and score a 100% match on your first purchase only at legendswithaz.com.